Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel, here with my lovely rib, Rhea Serene Israel. Say shalom. Say shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom, King Free. How is everyone this Sabbath?
We hope everyone is well. We hope this message catch everyone in great spirit. If not, I hope this message brings a recovery of a great spirit. So we still in the creation. We dealing with the sixth day. We want to, you know, not apologize, man, because we've been imparting on the creation. The Lord has been showing us his creation. He's been manifesting his creation. I mean, as far as his earth, his birds, his beasts, his everything. We've been like seeing some of everything in this world. Oh my God. But I guess, you know, you reap what you sow. That's the truth. You reap what you sow. If these things, what God is manifesting to us and what we've been allowed to see in our travels, we can truly say we've been reaping what we've been sowing. So we want to thank God for blessing us, man, for blessing us, for allowing us to see all these beautiful things in his creation. Thing, man, that we allowed to read in his book, and also physically that we also see with our own eyes and ears. So with that being said, we want to ask our brothers and sisters, hope and pray you got your King James Version Bible. And we're going to ask our brothers and sisters again if you can stand and face Jerusalem. Brothers, if you can uncover your head. And sisters, if you can cover your head as we approach the Father. Amen? Amen. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families.
Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God. The light and blessing is because they see your light and your consciousness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. God, it's another Sabbath day, and we want Sabbath closer to the big Sabbath. Amen. Once again, we are dealing with the creation. We are dealing with the creation of God, the sixth day, the beast of the field, part two. What do you mean? Well, he created the beast for a purpose, you know, for a lot of different things, you know. And we have to be careful, you know, of the beast of the field. Mind you, we're not covering every scripture concerning all the animals. This is what, you know, we can only give you bits and pieces. Like the Lord said, you put bits and pieces in a horse's mouth, right? And that's all we can do. So we can only lead and guide and touch on things that the God of Israel allow us to see. And then maybe while you're reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelations, when you run into certain things, those things will jump out at you, you know, and they become relevant. You know, you'll see those things and you see that they're more than just honorable mentions or he's just talking and just to be talking and, you know, like God just, you know, hey, I just like to talk to be heard. That's not him. You know, that's not him. He had everything that's written in his book that Jesus testified of, that man should live by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Let this be known that it has a reason and a cause and effect. So it has purpose. Everything has purpose, even the beasts of the field. So let's get started. Let's get started with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. That's where we left off at, you know, when we did the Beast of the Field part 1. We left off in this conversation. And mind you, we're going to be in that sixth day. The other part of it, when he created man, you want to really hear this one. Oh my God, he did so much when he created us, right? So, with that being said, Sister Rhea, can you pick this up at Genesis chapter 1 and 24? Genesis chapter 1 and 24.
Amen.
When you receive it, read.
Amen.
Amen.
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image.
No. We're not dealing with man yet. No, we ain't dealing with them yet. We're going to skip down to verse 29. Amen? Verse 29, because we're saving that for the later, right? Because this is the man is the cream of the crop. That's his image. And when he created him, oh, he spoke a lot over us. All the fruits of the Spirit he gave us. Before sin entered into the picture, we definitely want to receive those things that he spoke over us at this time, right? Okay, Genesis chapter 1:29. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 1:29 reads, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for me. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So he created us, you know, vegetarians initially, right? Not that we can't eat meat, because beasts of the field eat meat. And when sin entered into the picture, those things start taking place, right? That's not a fluke. It happened. So, and that's why we eat meat, and that's where men eat meat. Not to take away from the fact that vegetarians, nothing wrong with being a vegetarian, you know, but that don't make you any better than someone that eat meat. You know, vegetarians get that thing like people that's driving a Prius or something, you know, oh, you're driving a gas guzzler, or someone driving an electric car. And they get all snobbish because you got a gas burner and things like that. No, we're not in that mindset. We don't look at things like that. We look at whatever the Father's given us, that's where we operate in, right? But if you are a vegan, that's a beautiful thing. If you are a vegetarian, that's a beautiful thing, because vegans and vegetarians are two different animals. Let's make that clear. And, you know, and if you eat meat, well, hey, that's a beautiful thing too. God bless, right? Anyway, so he said, you know, he gave us all these things, the herbs of the field. You know, you can see an animal, you can see a cow eating grass, you can see a bear eating grass, you can see a dog eating grass. Why? Because they were created for that purpose. You know, and then certain grass is healing, and they'll smell it and they'll eat it. And next thing you know, their body is releasing and stuff like that, because that's what they're there for. They actually smell like we're so layered, first of all, with sin. And then the matters of this world, we can't, you know, pick up on the things that's common to us, you know, such as herbs of the field. But those things that has been revealed to us, We thank God for them, in that he allow us to actually live with those things. Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 7:1. So when God created the beasts of the field, he didn't just create them for us to you know, be masters over, or just to be, you know, cruel to, or anything like that. He loved his animals. And when you look at animals, they love you too. And not to mention, they bilingual. You know, animals are bilingual. You could teach any animal in the creation your language. And then you can give that animal to another people, and they will talk to that animal in their language, and the animal would soon pick it up and will not forget the previous language that it has, because it's bilingual, right? It's just to say, like, you go to a pet shop, your dog. The dog may be a year old. A Spanish couple owned it, or an Asian person owned it, or an African person owned it, or a European person owned it, and they spoke in their native tongue to the animal. The animal will receive those things that he learned from the previous. Then here you come, and now you're teaching it your native language, and it'll also comprehend that too, and also will comprehend the other languages of his previous, I don't want to say owner, master, but owner, right? So they are bilingual. You know, that go for the birds too. You know, you got cockatoos. They can speak any language you teach them. They can speak all the languages of the earth if we teach them that. They also can outlive you. Cockatoos can live up to 120 years old. So if you really want a pet that's going to stick around, get you one of those, right? Anyway, let's go to Genesis chapter 7 and 1, because God didn't create the animals to destroy them. He created them because they're for us. They're for him. They're for work. They're for enjoyment. And they're for the cleaning up of the earth, you know, like garbage disposals. Yeah, garbage disposals. You know, raccoons are garbage disposals. Mice are garbage disposals. Pigs are garbage disposals. And yes, some of us eat mice. Yes, some of us eat pigs. But, you know, when it comes to dogs and stuff like that, it becomes taboo. But they both are garbage disposals. Let me reiterate that. They are garbage disposals. Amen? So this is why we're not supposed to eat those things, because our bodies are not conducive to their bodies. They can actually digest toxins that our bodies cannot. So we can't eat anything. We can only eat those things that he said to eat. Right? Right. Okay. So Genesis chapter 7 and 1. So God is going to save the lives of the beasts of the field and us, mankind. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 7 and 1 reads, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of these seven, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean."
See, now, if you listen at man's interpretation of this conversation, you only see two by two. But when you look at the word of God, it said, of every clean beast thou shalt take by sevens, and male and his female. So that's still two by two, but they're clean, and he said seven. And then he said, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Why? Because the clean beast, man can eat. The unclean beast, we can't eat. What do you mean? We can eat a cow. We can eat a deer. We can eat a lamb. We can eat pheasants. You see, those things. But we can't eat pigs. We can't eat snakes, gators. We can't eat turtles. We can't eat frogs. We can't eat those things. We can't eat vultures, buzzards. We can't eat eagles. We can't eat none of those things, because the word of God gives us, it goes into detail. We're going to touch on it just a little bit of what is clean and unclean to him. But you see here, he said, of every clean beast thou shalt take by seven, and the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Why? Because if Noah decided to eat a clean beast, well, you still got 13 left. But if he decided to eat a turtle, that whole species is wiped out. So the dietary law didn't start with Moses. It started here. Continue.
Amen. In verse 3, of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth.
Continue.
For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with them, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. And of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, and God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters...
So he said creeping things too, right? So that also includes the insects. That's why we still have flies and mosquitoes and bumblebees and things like that. But those are considered unclean fowl. What do you mean? Because they have wings. Fowls are those that have wings. And but you got clean fowl. What do you mean? Grasshoppers, locusts, crickets. That's not exactly on my to-do list to actually sit down and eat. But John the Baptist wasn't having no problem with those on his menu. Our conversation is this. He did say, you know, of the clean and the unclean, and that's the thing that we got to be conscious of and always remember, because God got those things written in his book of remembrance of the things that we are to do and the things that we are not to do. And planning to remain in the book of life, we got to remember the things that he said to do. Amen? Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 18. This is after the flood, because we're not dealing with the flood. We're dealing with the beasts of the field, because he saved all of them. He saved the beasts of the field. He saved the fowl of the air. He didn't have to say the fish, of course, but he saved the fowl of the air, all the creeping things, you know, all the bugs, every bug you can imagine, all of them, you know, all them little critters that look all wild and crazy that they make monster movies from, get ideas to make more horror flicks out of, that's them. Well, he had those on the boat too, so that we still have those things, you know, but they wasn't biting nor destroying or hurting anything. You know, ticks wasn't on no cows or dogs or anything like that. The dog wasn't biting no cat, and the cat wasn't chasing mice. It wasn't none of that. He saved those things, and they knew what the purpose was. Just like, you know, we could save animals today, and an animal would get stuck in the mud and look at man and be like, oh, my God, can you help me? You know, we see this time and time again. You'll see dogs, they get stuck in the mud, and they do things like that, or they get stuck in a ditch or a sewer or something, and they'll cry out, you know. And so they understand when men is actually trying to save their lives. Amen? So now God saved their lives. Now here we are. Now they're all finna exit the boat. Noah's finna do something. Watch this. Genesis 8 and 15. Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 15. And when you receive it, read.
And spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast out of the ark.
And so every last one of them, by two, exit. Now when they exited the ark, they multiplied. That's why now you have critters, beasts, fowls of the air, everywhere, because they left the ark. Okay, so now they multiply by twos, right? And we see it all the time. We see two birds flying together. We see ducks flying together. You know, you see two ducks, and next thing you see a whole flock of ducks. You see two chickens, and next thing you see a whole flock of chickens. You see two cows, a bull and a cow, and the next thing you see is a whole flock of a whole herd of cattle and so forth, you know. So this is what happened after they left the ark. Continue.
And verse 20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar.
So men had already started eating meat. You don't just barbecue just to be cooking. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God gave them coats of skins. That was a sacrifice. That was your first sacrifice. That was the beginning of the Levitical priesthood right there. Where did he get the skins from? Well, Revelations chapter 13 tell you he got them from a lamb, right? We're going to read a little bit of that. But he said, you know, he sacrificed of, not all, of. So he took one or of every clean beast, right, and offered it on a God for what? Read on.
Amen. Verse 21. And the Lord, let's do 30 again. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not be. Amen.
Continue. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go right into 9. So, Lord blessed it, right? He blessed Noah. He told them to replenish the earth. What do you mean replenish? Because he just drowned everything, right? And he told Noah, told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth. Why? Because there was a creation before us. I'm not going to say creatures. I'm going to say a creation. And of the beasts of the field, he told them too. When he created them to replenish the earth. You know, as we read in Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because it was a creation before them. So when he said replenish, that means, like he said, replenish. Why? Because there were beasts before us. And the word of God tell us as well that we are but beasts. Right? So that include us too. Right? Let's go right into Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. Genesis 9 and 1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 9 and 1, read. All that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered.
So this is the thing. The beasts of the field, a bear, will pause first before he attacks, because that's the law. A lion will pause first before he attacks, because that's the law. So the thing is, you know, well, I ain't going to say a shark, but he'll swim around you. He'll give it some thought. But a dolphin or a killer dolphin, as some of us would call a killer whale, which is nothing more than a giant dolphin, they will not attack you unless they're given reason. You see, so this is that law. This law still stands. This is why we have circuses, lion tamers, bear tamers. Who can make bears dance, you know. This is why we can take a dog and teach them just about anything, you know, except for talk like a man. But they can say certain things, even a cat. You know, we can teach a cat certain things, you know. So those things given to man. Even a fish of the sea. What do you mean? You could teach a dolphin to do things for man. You could teach so-called killer whales to do things for man. You know, even in your fish tank, your fish recognize you when it's time to feed. You are not going to tank. They'll come to you, you know, because that's the commandment from God, even the fish of the waters. Amen? Upon everything that moves. Continue.
Amen. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I gotten all things.
So now he's telling us that we can eat meat and green herbs. You know, this is why we can have collard greens and beef neck bones, you know what I mean? Or smoked turkey, you know. I ain't saying pork. I ain't saying, no, look, we, no, that's not what we're supposed to be. You ain't supposed to eat a pig. I'm here to tell you that. No, that's a no. But he's telling us we can eat those things, you know. And even himself, he ate those things. He ate it with Abraham. And then he came down again and he ate it with the disciples. He ate a lamb and they had a feast and they had bread and wine. And not only that, he ate bread too. So, you know, he's telling us, you know, it's lawful. Long as those things are clean. Let's remember that. Let's keep that in our conversation. Continue.
Amen. Verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
So you're not supposed to eat the blood. You know, that's where we get our vampires from, you know, vampire movies. That's why they're called nefarious. They're wicked. They're evil. They're called bloodsuckers, and that's nefarious. That's wicked. And so you're Nostradamus, maybe. It's never mind. Anyway, they're considered wicked, right? And they are. And when they're portrayed in films or in books, they're portrayed as wicked. Why? Because they're committing this abomination. They are actually drinking the blood of not only man, but animals. You see? Continue.
Amen. Verse 5. As surely your blood of your lives, the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man.
Now, this is something we got to be conscious of. You know, yeah, just because, you know, the law said just because sin isn't executed speedily doesn't mean that person got away. That sin may fall upon his second and third generation. You know, and sometimes I see horrible things happening to people, and I feel sorry for that situation, but then we don't know what their forefather did. You know what I mean? That brought that upon their children. You know, so we have to be conscious of that. He said, until the third and fourth generation. So that person could be long dead and gone that committed that monstrosity of killing someone, but their descendant is going to pay for it. Because it's the law. Continue.
And you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God,
okay, that's good. That's good. He's saying you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 18. Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 18. You on 18? You on 18?
Yes, sir.
You on 18? So which one are you? Are you Face or you Mr. T? Come on, girl, read.
Ecclesiastes 3 and 18 reads, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
That's the end game. Why? Because he created us in the same day. And so we're not supposed to even think of ourselves as any better, more articulate, a higher form of intelligence, but that's the end of it. You know, because we can teach a beast a lot of things, but because they don't have thumbs and toes, they can't build, you know, and so forth. Not that a monkey or a bear, you know, they can't articulate structure. So we are but beasts, but he teach us a little more than that. Continue.
Sons of men be fallen beasts. even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity.
See, there it is again. We beasts too, but we are higher form of the beasts. Even the whales are considered beasts. You know, so when we start talking about beasts and things like that, we got to start considering ourselves. But the thing is, we're a higher form of the food chain. We're what we call an apex, you know, using science or you know, the common word that would be what I would call the lexicon of man, that we would be the apex predator. You know, we would be an apex predator because there's no beasts, no fish that we can't kill or conquer. Not one. Read on.
Amen. Verse 30. All going
20.
20, thank you. All go unto one place.
There it is. You know, all go to one place and all turn to dust again. Even the fish turn to dust, you know, and so forth. So all go to one, all flesh is of the earth, all of it, everything, even the fish. You know, it's just that it was created in water. And as we covered in the fifth day, what did the water bring forth? Life. And what is life? Blood. That's the first time blood was mentioned in the creation, because fish have blood, whales have blood, fowls of the air have blood. That includes the birds and the insects. Blood started with water. Why? Because water is life. That's why he said he have a river of living waters flowing from his throne. Continue.
Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?
There it is. So he said that this is the wisest man that was ever born of a man and a woman. That I will say that, because Jesus Christ was 100% cerebral. You know, he was 100% literal, 100% cerebral. Solomon was 100% literal. He was not 100% cerebral. There is a difference. And Jesus Christ was 100% cerebral. Otherwise, he can make himself invisible. What do you mean? When the Jews, when Israel was trying to stone him, he passed right through them. I mean, what? Are we paying attention to that? How do you, they trying to kill this man? And he walked right through them. What did he do? He blinded their eyes. Or he caused a cloak of invisibility to take place. The same thing that covered the angels. Nothing different. Like I said, Jesus Christ was 100% cerebral. He was also 100% literal. Solomon was the wisest man born of a man and a woman, which make him 100% literal. Amen? Amen. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 35 and verse 11. Job 35 and verse 11. When you receive it, read.
Job 35 and verse 11 reads, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven.
See that? He teaches us more than the beasts of the earth. Why? He teaches us structure. He teaches us how to build. He teaches us how to live. He teaches how to take care of ourselves, even though the beasts of the field have that, right? Beasts of the field was knowing how to dig a hole to hide himself from the weather and things like that, right? But we actually know how to build things. Even though creeping things can build bridges, we build bridges, you know. Birds build nests. We got all of that, right? But they can't create fire. That's the difference. They cannot create fire. That's the difference between man and the beast. He teaches us more than the beast of the field. We can teach a beast how to read, but we tell them how to create fire. Amen? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10. Remember now, God said he saved all the beasts, right? So if he saved the beasts, that means he have a certain love for them, right? And he speak unto them in love, right? So let's read that. Proverbs chapter 12 and 10. When you receive it, read.
Proverbs 12 and 10 read, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast.
Who's more righteous than God? So he said, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. What? He loved his beast. Even the book even say that Uriah loved, he said it was when Nathan gave him the parable, he said this man had one ewe lamb and he loved it and he kept it near to him and he raised it up as one of his own children. That's what God talking about, how we supposed to love our beasts. Because they have a conscience. They know when they do right and wrong. They have an imagination. They have a spirit. They have a spirit of life in them. They dream. You know, so we can't just take those things for granted that they just dumb animals. They are not. Continue.
Amen. Verse
10
again. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land.
So he said the tender mercies of the wicked is cruel. So somebody that's cruel would be cruel to animals. They would do cruel things to the beasts of the field. You see, and that's called ungodly. No, that's not called ungodly because you have to be godly to become ungodly. That's just called sin and wickedness. You don't treat your beast cruel. Where are we?
That was verse 11.
Verse 11, read that next one for me. But look at here now. I'm not dealing with the vain person. But what he said is, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with what?
Bread.
Bread, right? So how do he till his land? Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Will you receive it, read?
Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:8 read. Say I these things as a man, the law, the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doeth God take care for oxen?
See there? He said, don't muzzle the ox. Don't do those things. If the ox is working for you, let him eat. And at the same time, he's what? Fertilizing your soil that you are plowing at the exact same time. So what? He eat a couple of stalks of corn. Big deal. You're gonna reap 100-folds of that, 1,000-folds of that. So he said, this is what he's talking about. Love your beast, and the earth will love you back. Love your animals, and the same love will return back. That a little further. Let's go and see where it came from. Let's go into Deuteronomy chapter 25 and 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn.
See that? So there it is. That's what Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians. Don't muzzle the ox. Do not muzzle the ox. Let them eat. Let them eat whatever the corn is or whatever you raising up, because all he's going to do is fart it out. And then while you plowing, you're fertilizing the land all over again, you know. So this is that conversation, you know, and it only makes sense, you know. And same thing, you know, all you doing is paying the ox, you know, for him working. He get to eat. He get to eat. He get to live. And he don't have to worry about predators. He get to live in the safety of your dwelling. You know, so when we look at this creation, it's not, you know, the animals, tools, and stuff like that. I mean, we do have them, but technically that's a Roman thing. You know, to catch your animals and take them out of their natural habitation. You know, that wasn't something that we did. We didn't take animals out of their natural. Well, I don't know. I got to take that back. Because Solomon had peacocks and apes. And he had a whole lot of stock. So, yeah, I'm gonna take that back. All right. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. Go into Ezekiel chapter 1 and 4. Ezekiel chapter 1 and 4. When you receive it, read.
Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4 reads, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself."
So let me look at this, right? You got a tornado, because a whirlwind is a tornado. That's a whirl means going in circles. I mean, going around and around. And then it's on fire. So enfolding itself means it's controlled. It's not like all over the place. It's not all over the place like fire. It's a controlled flame. Right? So this is just any kind of whirlwind. It's not any kind of fire. Continue.
Verse 5, "Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like grass."
So they got calf's feet. They got, what are we talking about here? Cherubims, right? And a calf foot is what? Clean. Right? It cleaves in the middle. So he's showing you that they're clean. Continue. But you can't eat them. You know, you can forget about that unless you can eat fire. You know, but then again, you can't eat man, right? So that's that conversation, because they had a face up man too, right? Continue.
Amen. Verse 8. "And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. Turn not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four, had the face of a man and the face of a lion, and on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four also had the face of the eagle."
So they go to all the things that Noah saved. So God do love his beast. God do feed his beast. I mean, I could take this and just go on and on and on. I can't, because the reason of the law said to give everyone bits and pieces. And also, you have to study. He said, study and show yourself approved. I'm not here to teach everything that proceed out of the mouth of God. I'm only here to point out those things that he gave me. And that's it. And those things he said, and also he had John to write. He said, don't even write these things because it's not for everybody. You see? So we got to be conscious of that. So no, I'm not here to teach everything that fall out of the mouth of God. That is not my job. My job is just to point out some things. And to open up your eyes to certain parts of the Word of God. That's the end of it. I'm not supposed to look at myself any better to anyone other than the fact that I'm like any other beast of the field, right? You know, some of us, we got that high and mighty thing. You know, we God gift to the creation. We can't be wrong. You know, I dare you say, we're wrong. You know, but no, God forbid. Continue.
Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went.
Okay, that's good. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 10 and 4. So the Father allowed Ezekiel to see the cherubims. Amen. He allowed Ezekiel to see the cherubims. Now, Ezekiel was a Levite, and he also talked to Ezekiel personally. Thus saith the Lord, such and such. When you hear the conversation between God and Ezekiel, it's first person through visions. Continue.
Amen. Ezekiel 10 and 4 reads, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaking.
Skip down. Yeah, continue. Skip down. Where do you leave off at?
I'm at verse 6.
Okay, continue.
And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels and from between the cherubs, then he
went. No, skip down to 14. Yes, ma'am.
Ezekiel 10 and 14 reads, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third face was the face of a lion, and the fourth face, the face of an eagle.
Face of a cherub. Yeah, what is face?
A man's face.
That ain't what that said, because a man got a face. So he said he got four faces,
four
right?
Faces.
Okay, so read.
The first face was the face of a cherub.
Wait a minute. So a cherub got a face. What is his face? Read on.
And the second was the face of a man. And the third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle.
What's missing? Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. Exactly. Thank you for not allowing me to go there. So it's the ox. So the face of a cherub, his face is an ox. This is why we can't abuse an ox. Even if you slaughtered them for, say you prepared them for food. You're not supposed to just kill them any kind of way, like some men hit them on the head with sledgehammers and stuff like that. That's not how you're supposed to kill a beast like that. There's a certain way we're supposed to actually kill a beast. Even a lion kill a beast a certain way. What do you mean? The first thing he do is go for their throat. So the Lord showed us, he said, this is how you actually kill a beast. You cut his throat. You don't hit it on the head with a sledgehammer. That may not kill it. And what do it do? It cries on to God. Same thing with any beast of the field. It cries on to God. Let's look at this a little further, right? So we found out that the face of a cherub is actually one of the beasts of the field, which is an ox. You see, so this is that conversation. And like a brother had brought up, right? He said, yeah, I'm going to eat some oxtails. Well, where you see an ox head in America? Exactly, right? Okay, anywho, let's look at this a little further. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 21. 2 Kings chapter 2 and 21. When you receive it, read.
Amen. 2 Kings 2 and verse 21 reads, And he went forth into the spring of the water and cast the salt in there and said, thus said the Lord, I have killed these waters. There shall not be from them any more death or barren land.
So God allowed Ezekiel to heal the waters, right? So if he healed the waters, guess what? Whoever drink of this water is going to be healed, right? Whatever beast going to drink from this water is going to be healed. He allows Ezekiel to heal the waters to heal the people, right? Read on.
Verse 22. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head.
Wait a minute. He just healed the waters for them to drink. This is why you don't reward people evil for good. You know, all of them is going to live from this, even these children. And now they mocking Ezekiel. Now they talking about him. Now they mocking him and things like that. You think God is with that? Go a little further and read.
Amen. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and teared 42 children of them.
Now, they didn't kill them, but they got at them, you know, like a dog. But a bear is like a giant dog. But it got claws. It got a big mouth. It got big teeth. So these children were scarred for life. Why? Because they just rewarded this man evil for good. He just healed the waters for everybody, even a beast. And he, like, followed him out the city. He was gone. And they followed him. And they calling him bald head. And he must have had, you know, he must have been kind of sensitive about that. You know what I mean? You know, maybe he was one of them bald head like stink meaner. You know what I mean? Like that bald like bozo, you know, like that kind of bald head with a whole lot of hair sticking out. Because, you know, they didn't believe in haircuts back in the day. But if you was bald on the top and you know, the rest of it had to be what it is, right? So maybe he had one of those kind of things. This is why they got clowns wearing that to mock Ezekiel, Elisha. Right?
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. Maybe that was the situation. Because it don't say he took a razor to his head. It just said that he was bald. Right? Read on. Oh, never mind. That's good. Let's go into...
And verse 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them, and he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria.
Okay, good. Now let's go into Job chapter 28 and continue. See, you don't mess with bears, man. You don't mess with them. You know, especially if they got cubs. A bear will fight a grizzly. A female bear, a black bear, which is probably the smallest bear in America, will fight grizzly if she got whelps. If she got cubs, she going to fight to the death. Why? Because that grizzly came for two things, to eat them. Let's go into Job 28 and 8.
Job 28 and verse 8. The lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it.
The lion have whelps. He take care of them too. He feed the lions. He said he had them in a cage, and he'll let a deer run by or a fawn or something like that, or a raccoon or a bunny rabbit, and let them eat. You know, because that's the way things are right now. But those things are going to change. We're going to read that too. Those things are coming to an end. But right now we're reading the current. But it's going to come a time when the beasts of the field are not going to do those things anymore. And dare I say, not only are they going to be bilingual, but they're also going to know how to speak. Ezekiel 19 and 1.
For the princes of Israel.
So these are the kings of Israel and those that are heirs of the promise, right? Now here it is. Look what he says here concerning them. Read on.
And say, what is thy mother? A lioness? She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions.
Why? Because Judah, he said, is of the tribe of Judah, and he's also the lion of Judah. So naturally, he's going to refer to the women of Judah as what? Lioness. This is where they get this from. But what do a lioness do? She provides for not only the whelps or the cubs, but the lion. But lioness, the women of Judah, is not this these days because that's not their first nature. Their first nature is to eat for themselves. It's sad, but this is how far we are from the law. Let's look at this a little further. Read on.
Okay. Verse 4.
Not 3.
Okay, let me read 3. Came a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men.
See that? So a lion is taught, just like in, like men, how to survive by its mother or father. You know, and the same thing with the birds, the same thing with fish. The same thing, they're taught how to survive by their parent, you know. And this is that conversation. So the beasts of the field do have an imagination. They do have creativity. They do have a spirit. They do dream. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1.
7 and 1 reads, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head, upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another.
Wait a minute. Four beasts from the creation? Continue.
The first was like a lion.
That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 26. Continue.
And had eagle's wings.
Wait a minute. That sounds like the same conversation, but that's Genesis chapter 1 and 24. But now we sound like we're talking about an angel, right? Read on.
And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to
him. You got to keep this in mind. This first lion was as a lion, and it had eagle's wings, right? What did we read in Ezekiel that had a face of a lion and wings? A cherub. Exactly, right? Okay, read on.
Okay, verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. Arise, devour much flesh. And
now the first beast, the lion with the eagle's wings, was Babylon. The second one here is the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay, they still had the same logos. You know, Russia is still a bear. They still got the logo. And Europe still have the lion wing crescent. Read on.
Amen. Verse 6. And this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it.
Man, a leopard is a cold piece, man. A leopard is, it can swim, it can climb trees, it hunt alligators, it hunt men, it hunt other leopards. man, a leopard is probably the most smartest, fierce hunter of all the felines. Even though you don't want nothing to do with a Bengal tiger, because if you do, you have no chance whatsoever. A Bengal can take down a grizzly. Tiger can take down a grizzly. Why? Because a grizzly, even though it's big, it got teeth, it got claws, it's not as agile as a Bengal. And that Bengal will, man, it'll smoke a bear. So this last one represents the Greek Empire, which is what it did. It took out the Medo-Persian Empire. Alexander the Great went to war with Xerxes' army. Not Xerxes, but his descendants. And he conquered Medo-Persia as a leopard, which is a leopard, is a giant cougar. They are fierce. And it also said it had wings, right? And continue.
Saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things.
This is the Roman Empire, and his 3 horns would be the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, and the Herulians. They were plucked up by the roots. All 3 of these had conquered Rome and ruled Rome. But then the last horn, which Otto the Great hired another army to rid them 3, and now Rome started regenerating and started gaining its authority among the people through religion. Now you got this fourth horn, that this little horn now, through religion, is speaking to the world as a servant of God, and it is not. He is not. And dare I say, that fourth church or the fourth, this little horn that came out of Rome is none other than the papacy. Let's look at this a little further. Go to Revelation chapter 13. So now he's showing us through the creation these things, right? Continue. When you receive it, read.
13:1, Revelation chapter 13:1 reads, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority.
That's why you saw the lion with wings, because Satan gave him his seat, power, and great authority. What do you mean? Because Satan is a cherub, and he's a lion. So this is that thing. And he's always a lion. What do you do, baby?
He's always a lion.
He's always a lion. Would you say that was corny? I thought that was, you know, pretty dang on, you know. Anyway, let's look at this a little. Keep reading. So now we see that he's blaspheming the word of God. We're picking this same conversation up that Daniel saw, right? But he gave it to John. Continue.
And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and in them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
Now think about that. He's coming at you as a leopard, right? He's coming at you as a lion. He's coming at you as a bear. Those are the most ferocious beasts that God created. He's coming at us with all three of those manners, with all three of those mentalities. So this thing ain't going to be anything nice. Continue.
Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Now, he said, now the people that's going to worship him, they're not in the book of life. You see, this is that conversation. Let's look at this a little further. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Amen. So, just a little further. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 1. Yes, ma'am.
Leviticus 11 and 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, amongst the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean.
That's what he told Noah. That's the same conversation we had in Genesis chapter 7. He had the clean beast and the unclean beast. So when Noah, when the camels came up on the boat, Noah, that's unclean. You know, and the thing is, we act like this dietary law or the conversation of the dietary law started with Noah. Even with Adam, he told him what was clean and unclean. Or else Abel wouldn't have known what to offer. He would have offered all of this, but he didn't. He offered the first of the flock. There's no such thing as a flock of camels. Read on.
Amen. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, and the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean and feed.
That's a rabbit. You know, and people eat rabbits. My mama tried to feed me some rabbit, and that was the last rabbit I ever had. You know, once she told me it was a rabbit, I could have threw up everything I ate from 2 years ago. So, no, that's unclean. Read on.
7. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you.
See, and that's another thing. We all eat pork. We all ate pork. You know, those of us that was not born and raised in consciousness. But those of us that was born and raised in consciousness, dare I say they haven't tried it. Thing is this. He said not to eat it, and he have his reasons why. One is their garbage disposals. Everything we just named is garbage disposals, and they have a purpose. A camel purpose isn't for us to eat. They're for transportation. You understand? They're luggage racks or, you know, cargo trucks, if you want to call it that. They're not even meant to pull a buggy or a wagon. They meant to either haul or you ride. That's what they're there for, not to eat. You know, and Arabians and Somalians and they that call themselves Muslims, they eat that. We went to this Ethiopian restaurant and it had camel on the menu. And, you know, my thing is that I love devils and rebuking devils, you know, because when you rebuke a devil, the people's face looks so washed and clean and brand new. What do you mean? When the Muslims sit up there and we having that conversation about the dietary law and we start talking about the things we can and can't eat, and I bring up the fact that I don't eat shrimp or lobster, anything like that, and they do, and then I go in the Bible and show them that, they shocked. Well, you just rebuked that devil. That devil just fled. What? Wait a minute. I've never seen that before. Poof, it's gone. Because they're already not eating pork, but they never consider the fact that a lobster or a shrimp are nothing more than sea roaches, and crabs are nothing more than sea spiders. If you're not going to eat a spider that's on your wall, why would you eat one that's in the water? Because it's big? No. A crab is a spider. Let's look at this a little further, right? Continue.
Amen. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all.
Okay, so they unclean. So he gave the dietary law to Adam and Eve. And when he told Noah of the clean and unclean, he already knew. Let's go right into Numbers chapter 22. This is something else the beast can do. 22 and verse 22.
Numbers 22 and verse 22 reads, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way of an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants.
This is what happened. You can mess around and you can get God with you, and he'll send an angel to stand in the way to make sure he get at you. You know, and dare I say, it may be for something that our great-great-grandfather did. Continue.
Amen. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote
the ass. The beast of the field can do what? See angels. They can see the spirits. We can't, once again, because of sin. Two, because they've been put under the chains of darkness, not in a pit of darkness, chains of darkness, that is to say invisibility, and also because we're so clothed with this world and the things and the wares of this world that our minds aren't really clear enough to really receive those things that belong to God, such as this. But the beast of the field can see angels. I walk my dog and she'll stop and just stare. And I'm looking, I don't see anything, and the first thing come to my mind is this. And I say, well, let's go this way. Sometime a dog will stop walking. It'll lay on the ground and say, I ain't going no further. You might sit up there and say, come on, you stupid dog, let's go. Let's go. And the dog is like, I ain't moving. Your best bet is to sit there or go the other way. Or until the dog say, okay, it's safe to go. Because that dog literally is probably trying to save your life.
Right.
Or a cat. Or a bird. Whatever it may be. Read on.
Amen. 24, and the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left.
See, the angel of the Lord, you can think you're getting away. The angel of the Lord will corner you that you can't go to the left or the right just to kill him. So we don't want to tempt God. We don't want to put ourselves in harm's way of the Most High God. Because he, you know, like for instance, Ray, we are seeing way too many times an automobile is on the wrong side of the road. You know what I mean? We're seeing way too many times you got people out here randomly shooting people. But you got people that's in that vicinity. Why? Because the God of Israel made sure that they would be there, caught in explosions. You got people that are caught in landslides. You got people that are caught in volcanoes and stuff like that. Why? Because it may not be nothing that they done, but it may be something that their father's done. Or it may be something that they done like he doing, right? But read on.
Amen.
27.
And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff.
She pent him. She's trying her best to save his life. She pent him. Look, man, are you, man, listen. At the same time, she humbling herself to the angel, too. Because she saw the angel, and she didn't just see any angel. She saw one. She saw the destroyer. Read on.
Amen. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam.
So the Lord is going to allow the beast to talk. You see that? That's why I say the speech of the Chesedek is not just universal. But even a beast, the way it's verbaled or verbalage, so to say, the lexicon itself is going to be even for the animals to even articulate. You see, but an ass or a horse, they actually got a mouth and lips. So they can actually perform a say thing if God willed it, if the Lord willed it. Because their mouth can actually speak like a man because it's shaped like a man, even though it's long, but the end thereof actually is the lips, teeth, and it's actually shaped like a man. That's why that show Mr. Ed was so long and it ran so long, you know, because it made sense. A horse can talk if God willed it. Read on.
Amen. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, and I would.
Now he's talking back. You would have thought that, like, anybody like you and I, we'd be like, wait a minute, man. You know, this is, whoa, what? This ass talking to me? No. He's so into his situation, he's talking back to the ass. Read on.
Amen. A sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, next.
See, that's what they there for, to serve us. Not to want to kill us, you see that? Not to kill. That's why he said, wait a minute, what? Haven't I not been there for you the whole time? So these beasts is created for that purpose. Read on.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on him. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times?
You see, check him about that ass. That's why you can't be cruel to beasts. The angel of the Lord will get you for that. Why? Because they beasts. They're a bear. They a man and they a lion. So they know what they got. They 100% cerebral and they 100% liberal, literal. So they understand the beast in that conversation. You understand? Because they angels. They don't have mental blockage like us. You know, we can be so much literal and we are so much cerebral, but an angel is 100% cerebral and 100% literal. So when he smoked that ass, he caught feelings. Read on.
Amen. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thy ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is preserved before me.
Because
reverse.
You see that?
And
so
the, way is reversed.
The Lord will kill you because your mindset and your ways and your manners perverse. And he will take you off the planet. And perverse don't necessarily mean a horny toad, because the way you are, a forward mouth is perverse. A forward mind is perverse to God. So we got to be conscious of how we act, what we think, how we live before God, because our ways can be perverse. And he'll send an angel to destroy us because we are perverted. Read on.
Verse 33. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive.
See that? See that? So the ass, your dog, your cat can save you. So they was created to do what? To save us too. Not only just serve us, but to save us. Your camel can save you. He might spit in your face a couple of two times, but he'll save you. You know what I mean? He said, unless that ass hadn't seen me, you was out of here. Unless he didn't try to save your life, you was out of here. So when he created these beasts, man, we can't be looking at them just like dumb animals, man. They have purpose. They have reasons. Read on.
And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again.
Okay, good. Let's go into the last scripture. No, this ain't the last scripture. Go to Isaiah 65 and 25. We got one more after this. Isaiah 65 and 25. When you receive it, read.
Isaiah 65. And the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
So he's going to allow them to go back to that mindset. He's going to take us back to the days of Garden of Eve, the Garden of Eve and stuff like that. The wolf and the lamb is going to feed together. No more destruction. No more carnivores. No more hunting down. None of that. They're going to eat, and a lion is going to eat straw with a bull. You know, they're going to go back to that because it was created for that purpose. But when sin came into the picture, that's what happened. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. This could be the last verse. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1.
Isaiah 11 and 1 read, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord.
Jesse would be Jesus. Read on. This is that Jesse, Jesus. Okay, all you got to do is put a U in there, and there it is. Continue.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes.
Why? Because he's going to be able to read our minds. Continue.
Neither reprove after hearing of his ear.
You're not going to need a lawyer. Continue. If you wrong, you wrong. It don't matter if you poor or rich. You got poor, you got wicked poor people. You know, people be like, yeah, that man, the cops beat him down. You don't know what that dude just did. He might have just got through breaking in somebody's house. He might have just beat up some old lady. He might have beat up his crackhead wife or meth head wife. Or she might have just got through stealing from her mother to buy meth or crack or whatever, heroin. Or maybe they're just thieves. Or maybe they're murderers. You don't know why these things are taking place. The thing is that we make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position of this kind of judgment. Read on.
Then shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meat of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
You see that? So the beast of the field was created for our joy, our compassion. You know, a dog senses when you are, you know, when things ain't right with you. A pet will sense what those things ain't right with you. They can also sense fear. They can sense different things. But they're there for our comfort. Continue.
Cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockroach's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
See, that's all that kind of carnivorous things, all the violence, even other beasts of the field. They're not going to be attacking each other anymore. Ain't no, you know, you're going to be able to lay on the belly of a bear. I can't wait for that. God willing, I live and I'm able to do such a thing. I would love to lay on a bear. I kid you not, not a polar bear, but a grizzly. A grizzly look comfortable. A grizzly don't look comfortable. You know what I mean? It look like you could just lay on a grizzly and sleep for hours. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, they were created not to be hunted down, not to be caged, not to be looked at as specimens, not to be science specimens or anything like that. You know, they were meant to live for us. But, you know, hey, sin entered into the picture, these things start taking place. Even cruelty to the beast. Now scientists use animals and mice and stuff like that and monkeys and all sorts of beasts and men for that purpose. But they experiment and they act, you know, they end up with this affliction or even dead because we are not fearing God. We're not fearing the one that said, I would get to your third and fourth generation. Not just you, I would get to with you, I would get with your second generation, I would get with your third generation, I would get with your fourth generation, and that'll be the end of your story. Continue.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign.
That's Jesus Christ. When he come back and he's sitting on the throne of David, these things will take place. Continue.
To it shall the Gentile see, and his rest shall be glory.
Now, that conversation goes all the way back to Noah again. Why? Because he said Japheth is going to dwell in Shem's tent. So the Gentiles is going to be with Shem. They're already printing the books. You know, what's the glory of the Gentile? Gold and silver and construction. You know what I mean? Infrastructure. So the glory of the Gentiles is going to come to Shem. They're going to build all this stuff up, and they're going to build it according to the way of the Lord. The God of Israel is going to give them the blueprint, and they're going to lay it out. Ask Solomon. Ask Hiram. Hiram brought all the stuff that Solomon needed to build a temple and left Solomon his number one architect to build a temple. He was half Israel, half Gentile. His father was a Gentile. His mother was an Israelite. So he was mixed. But he was still a Gentile. The God of Israel is showing us they're going to rebuild the temple with the instructions of Israel behind it. Amen. So we hope we got some understanding in this creation. We hope that we understand that the beast of the flesh is just for our consumption and for ridicule, to be, you know, cruel, perform cruelty on, or crash monkeys or test dummies and stuff like that. They're not for that. They're for us. Dare I say again, I would love to lay down on a gorilla, but then again, you know, I think I would choose a bear. You know what I mean? I could sleep on a bear. I could sleep on a grizzly. I could probably sleep on a black bear. You know what I mean? But I think I prefer a grizzly because it's the biggest and the most fluffiest.
Amen.
Right? Who knows? I might could sleep on a bengal. You know why? Because that bad boy would be purring. And I'll probably be sitting on top of that with that vibration going, and I'll probably be asleep for hours. Because they there for that. That's why they were created. Amen. So we want to thank our people, man. We want to thank everybody. We want to thank once everybody that's listening now. We want to thank you for tuning in at this point at Sounds of Living Waters. Myself, Job Israel, and Ray, you did a great job. Thank you. Thank you for being there.
Thank you for being here.
I hope you got some understanding out of this. And be careful what you're putting in. So, you know, I'm just teasing. But anywho, we want to thank the people that's listening abroad, around the world. We want to thank Canada, the United States. We want to thank our family that's in Canada as well. God bless you and Shabbat Shalom to you. Amen. Wait a minute, something is. Stop it. Wake up. Okay. Man. Okay, here we go. I thought I deleted all that match. Let me go back to that. Go back to the dashboard. And I was trying to show you, see, we may have been out of sight, but we definitely haven't been out of mind. You see that? Okay. So in the United States, we want to thank all our brothers in the United States for listening at the Sounds of Living Waters, for tuning in. God bless you. We hope and pray that if you're not keeping the Sabbath day, that eventually that'll be a part of your report. If no, we still thank you for your time. And God bless you. And you, your family, your household, our family that's in Canada, I want to thank you as well. And if you keep the Sabbath, God bless you. If not, God bless you and your household. And we hope and pray that, you know, those things will become a part of your repertoire. Our family that's in Venezuela, God bless you. pray that if you're not keeping the Sabbath, we hope and pray that you will. And that if you're not, then one day you will keep it. We remember now, not only are we in the sixth day, we are coming into the seventh day. You want to find out, we want to be around for things as well, right? Our family that's in Brazil, we want to thank you for your time as well. And we hope and pray that eventually, hopefully pray that you're keeping the Sabbath. If no, then we hope and pray that you will. And if it's not a part of your report, we hope that one day it will become that. And if not, we still hope and pray that God is will continue to keep you in your house. Thank you for your time. Our family that's in the UK, in the United Kingdom, we want to thank you for your time. We hope you're keeping the Sabbath. You will. And if, you know, and if so, we still hope, thank you for your time, and we still hope and pray that the true living God keeps you. Our family that's in France, we want to say thank you for your time. We hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath. And if not, then one day maybe we hope that you will. And God willing, you know, we just hope and pray that the Father will allow you to see how beautiful that thing, that conversation between God and man is. God bless you and thank you for your time. Our family that's in Germany, God bless you. We hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath. And if you're not, well, we hope and pray that you will. And we hope and pray that that conversation be revealed to you and your household as well. Family that's in Spain, we want to thank you as well for your time. We want to, we hope and pray that you keep the Sabbath and that, you know, those things be a part of your report. And that if no, we still thank you for your time. And we hope and pray that the Father should reveal those things to you and that they will become something that you will just enjoy as much as we are to this, even this day. Our family that's in Switzerland, I want to say thank you for your time. True living God, continue to bless you. And that, you know, you too will, if you have, if you're not keeping this happen, we hope and pray that the God of Israel will reveal those things to you, that you will, and that those things, that he show you the beauty of it and the reason why and the cause and effect. Let's see, our family that's in Egypt. Welcome back, Egypt. Want to thank you again for your time. We hope and pray that the God of Israel continue to bless you. If you're not keeping the Sabbath, we hope and pray that you will. And that he reveal those beautiful things that's mentioned in those things, just call us out. God bless you and thank you for your time. Our family that's in Iraq, we want to thank you for your time. We hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath. If not, then we hope and pray that the God of Israel reveal those beautiful things to you. And we also want to thank you and God bless you. And that he'll just give you the increases to those things as well. Our family that's in Kenya, we want to say God bless you. Thank you for your time. And we hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath. If not, then we hope and pray that you will. And that those things will become a part of your report. And we just hope and pray that, Father, family that's in India, oh, my God, thank you for hanging in India. And we hope and pray once again for you, and we hope and pray that Father reveal the beauty of the Sabbath, and that those things be revealed to you, and that if it's not a part of your report, that they will be a part of report one day. But even so, we still thank you for your time. God bless you. And our family that's in Myanmar, bless you. Thank you for hanging in there. God bless you. Oh, my God. We love you so much. Thank you for staying faithful. And God knows, we hope and pray that Sabbath is a part of your conversation. And we hope and pray that the Father reveal those beautiful things in your conversation, as well as all the things in the creation as well. Peace and grace. Shalom. Our family that's in Thailand, as well. God bless you. Thank you for hanging in there. I know we've been missing in action, but I see that the audience is keeping up with us. God bless you. Thank you for your time. We hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath. If not, we still hope and pray that it's a part of your conversation and your report. God bless you. Thank you again for your time. Our family that's in Vietnam, thank you for hanging in there. Oh, my God. Love you, too. We hope and pray that the Father, that he reveal those things to you and show you the beauty of the cause of the reason why those things should be. Either or, thank you for your time. God bless you. Our family that's in Malaysia, God bless you. Thank you for your time. We hope and pray that you are keeping the Sabbath, and if not, and we hope one day that it'll be a part of your report, that he will reveal those beautiful things to you that belong to it. And either or, we still thank you for your time. God bless you. Our family that's in South Korea, oh my God, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. God bless you in the Sabbath. It's not. We hope and pray that the Father reveal those things and the reason why and the beauty of it. We are going to get into the seventh day. So hang in there, everybody. Hang in there. We're going to get into the seventh day, but you want to be around for the sixth day. We're going to get into the creation of man. We want this, right? We want the Sabbath day, but we want to, right? So anyway, God bless you. Thank you for your time. Our family that's in Japan, once again, thank you for hanging in there. Our family in the Pacific is not giving up on us. Thank you for hanging in there. We know that these are really trying times, but the God of Israel is always there. Hang in there. We hope that he revealed those things to you and that you can see how beautiful those things can be in your report. So with that being said, thank you again for your time. Thank you for hanging in there. Our family that's in the Philippines, they hang in there. God bless you. Our family that's in the Philippines, we hope and pray that you're keeping the Sabbath. And we hope, and if not, we hope one day that it will be a part of your report and that he'll reveal to you those beautiful things that belong to it. And if no, still this day and time, God bless you, and thank you for hanging in there. Amen. And I think I'm trying to get this, okay. Our family that's in Australia, welcome back, Australia. We want to thank you for your time. Hey, we're hoping and praying that you're keeping the Sabbath. We missed you out there. But we, hey, man, welcome back. And once again, we hope and pray that the Father reveal those beautiful things to you as well as in the Sabbath. You know, we still thank you for your time. Thank you for tuning in. And family that's in New Zealand, also thank you for your time. Hope and pray that you're keeping the Sabbath. And if no, we hope and pray that the Father reveal those beautiful things to you that's written in the Sabbath, and that it'll be a part of your report. And even though we still thank you so much for your time, and God bless you and you and your household, and we like to bless each and every last one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to the glory of the Father. We thank God. We hopefully edify someone. And as we say here, at the Sounds of Living Waters, please read your Bibles. Amen. Genesis to Revelation. King James Version. All right. Amen, everyone. God bless you. And continue to enjoy your week. Time appointed. Oh,
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio shows.